welcome everybody here to the Master's Class here at Swarmit Church. And we are going to be talking about the infallible path to wisdom. We're going to be in the same verses we were in last week, which is chapter 2. We're going to skip verse 10. We're going to do verses 1 through 9. Last week we had 1 through 10. So you got one last verse here this morning to go over, all right? So last week we talked about how the Proverbs of God were very different from the Proverbs of man. You know, God's Proverbs are not merely short sentences based on long experience. They are not little witticisms that sound good, but at other times not so good until after you examine them. You know, we talked about the conflicting Proverbs of man last week. But these Proverbs that we are studying are revealed truths from the Word of God. And they tell us God's ways so that God's people can know true health, true wealth, and true wisdom. Now, the book of Proverbs is indeed God's book to health, wealth, and wisdom for His children. Now, these Proverbs are God's ways for God's people. Amen? Amen. All right. Today I want us to continue our theme of talking about wisdom, and we're going to be on that theme for some time, but I want to continue. And we've been talking about wisdom for some time now, and today I want us to consider the infallible path to wisdom. Now, in order for us to understand why we would want to follow this path to the wisdom of God, last week, I'm going to summarize just the highlights of what we talked about last week, because we talked about the incomparable worth of wisdom. We said there's nothing to be compared to wisdom. And Proverbs 8:11 says, "For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it." So God says that all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to wisdom. So why is wisdom so valuable that nothing can be compared to it? Well, the first reason is because the Father provides it. The Father provides it. God the Father is still speaking to His children today. And this is the inspired Word of God, and these words are for His children. God desires for you to be wise. In fact, it is the promise of the Father that His children should be wise. And so He provides this wisdom to you. And next, not only is wisdom the promise of the Father, but wisdom is the product of the Holy Spirit. The teacher of wisdom is the Holy Spirit, and we are to incline our ears to Him. We are to listen to our teacher. Jesus said, yes, you're supposed to listen to your teacher, right? Amen? Yeah, all right. Now, and Jesus said that He will guide us into all truth. In the Bible, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Wisdom. Now, you see, a man can have knowledge, but he needs understanding. He needs wisdom. And Paul, speaking of Jesus, says in Colossians 2:3, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." And this just tells us that Jesus is the secret of the universe. Jesus is the glue of the galaxy. Jesus is the secret of it all. And so this wisdom is produced by the Spirit. And the only way that a man can know it is not by books, but by knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. So this brings us to that next thing that wisdom is. It is the presence of the Savior. Now, there are some things that are simply unknowable by the wisdom of man. If you wish to know the hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge, then you must have Christ in you. Wisdom is the presence of the Savior. You will never have real wisdom until you know the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. That is, man does not even have a modicum of wisdom until he knows the Lord. And when a man reverences God, when a man receives Christ, when a man has a personal encounter with Christ, that man receives the wisdom of God. So this is the incomparable worth of wisdom. It is provided by the Father, it is produced by the Spirit, but only by the presence of the Son. And so when you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, then you are ready to have that real wisdom. So the wonderful good news of the Bible is that God desires that we have His wisdom so much that He sent His own dear Son, the Lord Jesus, to die upon Calvary's cross, that you might know this wisdom. And He sent His dear Holy Spirit to teach it. No wonder the Bible says there's nothing to be compared with wisdom. Nothing at all. Now, you see there, I summarized all of last week's lesson inside of 5 minutes, and I could have just taught that whole lesson last week in 5 minutes, right? Didn't have to spend all that time going through all the detail and everything that I went through, right? All right, so let's see if we can summarize today's lesson in 5 minutes, and we'll just get out early here, okay? No? All right. So God has told us that there is nothing that we could desire that is comparable to His wisdom. That's the first thing, the incomparable worth of wisdom. Now the second thing, and the topic of our lesson today, is the infallible path to wisdom. Now today we're going to talk about how you can have this wisdom. So let's begin by looking again at our set of focus verses here in Proverbs chapter 2. And there are three things that I want to talk about today. There are three things that I see in this scripture, three things that teach me of the infallible path to God's wisdom. So let's begin today's lesson in chapter 2 of the book of Proverbs, verses 1 through 9. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest after her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of His saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. So here God tells us that the first step in the infallible path to His wisdom is that you must pursue the Scriptures. There must be the pursuit of Scriptures. Look again in verse 1. He says, my son, if thou wilt receive my word. It's all predicated on that. If you choose not to receive God's word, then you will never have wisdom. Listen to me. In this book, God's word, the infallible, inerrant word of God, is God's handbook to wisdom for His children. You must pursue it. You must pursue the word of God. You must pore over it. You must study it. You must saturate yourself with the Word of God. Now, how do you go about doing that, Keith? That's all wonderful for you to say, but how do you go about pursuing Scripture? So the first thing you must do, you must appreciate the Word of God. Verse 1 says you are to receive God's Word. God says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words. Now, that word receive literally means welcome. You are to welcome God's word just like you receive somebody into your house. That is, you act like you're glad to see them. Even if you're not, you act like you're glad to see them, right? So that's what the word receive means. It's welcome. You know, some people come to church on Sunday morning and they got this big sign hung around them. They you know what it says? Do not disturb. Don't you dare bother me with God's word. I just want to be entertained here today, right? I come to church so I can be entertained. Now, listen, we are to receive God's word. Now, let me ask you, are you receiving it today? Are you listening? Is your mind tuned to the word of God like it was a radio station? Or instead, are you thinking about who you are going to be sitting next to in the service, or what you're going to have for lunch, or the arguments you had with your spouse before you came in this morning, and as a result, are you just not receiving God's Word? Is there nothing but static on God's radio station in your mind? Right? So listen to me. In order for you to receive God's Word, then we must appreciate God's Word. You must be willing to receive it with an open heart. You must welcome it into your heart. But not only must we appreciate God's Word, we must appropriate God's Word. Look again at verse 1 where it says, "And hide my commandments with thee." And that means not only do you need to let it get in, but you got to let it get all the way down deep inside of you. Psalms 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." You know, there are some people that don't even bring a Bible to church. There are some people who never make any notations at all about what they learn here, either here on Sunday or even in their own Bible study time. Now, some people don't even have their own Bible study time. They think that's what Sunday church is for, right? That's where I get all my Bible study. As Keith, I come to your class and I go to the church service. That'll fill me up for all week long, right? I don't need any more Bible study than that. And then there are some people who don't even read the Word of God. Some people are just not serious about appropriating God's Word. And if that is you, you will never, ever find that path to wisdom. Listen, if we would possess wisdom, then wisdom must possess us. I mean, if we must get into God's Word, we must hide God's Word down in our heart. We have to appropriate the Word of God. So next, not only must we appreciate God's Word and we must appropriate God's Word, the next thing that we must do is assimilate God's Word. Now, the word assimilate means to take in information, ideas, and understand it fully. So that's not just reading the Scripture, it's understanding it. That is what God is telling us that we have to do. Look again in verse 2. God says, "Incline thine ear unto wisdom." In other words, incline thine ear literally have the idea of sharpening the hearing, or the idea of tuning in to what's being told to you in these verses. Does anybody remember the commercials for E.F. Hutton from many years ago? You know, E.F. Hutton was a stock investment company. Yeah, there you go. Was an investment company. As soon as someone said, "Well, E.F. Hutton says," everybody turned around and do this. You know, they were going to pay attention to what E.F. Hutton said. Well, let me tell you, God is speaking. And if you will listen, if you will assimilate what He is telling you, God is going to give you some wisdom. God will give you wisdom if you will listen. Now, the next thing you've got to do is you have to activate God's Word. It's not enough to appreciate it. It's not enough to appropriate it. It's not enough to assimilate God's Word. You must activate God's Word in your life. Now, you guys have heard me talk about my wife's biscuits and sausage gravy in the past, right? There is just no finer food in this world than my wife's biscuits and homemade sausage gravy. Okay, she used to do homemade biscuits too, and that was good. But now she's moved up in the world a little bit, and she does use the she does use store bought biscuits. I mean, yeah, she still cooks them, but you know, hey, there is no finer food than biscuits and gravy. Yeah, but it's not enough for me to appreciate that plate of biscuits and gravy. I can sit there and say how wonderful it is all day long, but that's not enough. That's not enough. You know, it's also not enough for me to appropriate it by sitting it down in front of me and possessing it, saying, "This is mine. You know, I got that plate in front of me, and I am possessing it," right? Nope, that's not enough either. It's also not enough for me to assimilate, to bend down and smell that aroma of goodness. Ooh, my goodness, the smell of that. I tell you what, I get hungry just thinking about the smell of the biscuits and gravy, right? Yeah, and just, you know, it's not until I activate my hand and put that biscuit and gravy into my mouth and let it settle down in my stomach that I put that food into my life. It is the same with God's Word. Jeremiah 15:16 says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them." I bet you guys didn't think I could tie that together with this lesson, did you? Yeah. Jeremiah 15:16 says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." This is just saying you must activate the word of God in your life. You must apply it in your daily life. Proverbs 2:2 says, "So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding." God says that we must apply thine heart to understanding. When you apply it, when it gets out of the notebook and into your head, and then when it gets out of your head and into your heart, and when it gets out of your heart and into your life, and you begin to live it, and you begin to apply it, and you begin to activate it, it's at that moment it becomes wisdom to you. It becomes wisdom to you. God says that we must apply thine heart to understanding. So the Bible says when a man hears the word and doesn't do it, that man is a fool. James 1:22-24 says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." So God is commanding us to apply the word of God to our lives. Now listen, it is the study of the Bible that gives you knowledge about God. And it is obedience to the Word of God that gives you the wisdom of God. Did you hear that? Study of the Bible gives you knowledge about God, and obedience gives you the wisdom of God. John 14:21 says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him." And look at this last part. "And will manifest myself to him." That is, when you keep God's word, when you obey God's word, then God begins to reveal himself to you. And the manifestation of God to you, among other things, means that you're going to have wisdom in your life. When God begins to manifest himself to you, you begin to have wisdom in your life. And so if you would know wisdom, then you must pursue the Scriptures, which means that you must appreciate the Scriptures, you must appropriate the Scriptures, you must assimilate the Scriptures, and you must activate the Scriptures. We are to be men and women of the book. And if you are, then you will be men and women of wisdom. That's the first step. You must pursue the Scriptures. There must be the pursuit of Scriptures on your path to wisdom. So the next step on this infallible path to wisdom is that there must be the prayer of the saint. Now here God is talking about your prayer life and how we are to pray. So first of all, we are to pray with intensity. Proverbs 2:3 says, "Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding." God's talking to you about your prayers in this verse. And he uses words like "criest" and "liftest." Those are words of intensity. God is speaking clearly, and he is saying that it is not a namby-pamby, will-o'-the-wisp, now I lay me down to sleep type of prayer that he's speaking about here. Oh no, it is a person who prays with all the function and unction and emotion of the mind, soul, and spirit. It is when a person says, "God, I want to know wisdom." Listen, God does business with those who mean business. Now, James 5:16 says, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed." And here's the part I want you to see. the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's what James tells us. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And James is the one who taught us a great deal about praying for wisdom. Do you really want to know the wisdom of God? Do you really want to know the way of God? Well, listen, let me ask you. When you pray, do you cry out after wisdom? Do you seek wisdom? We are to pray fervently. God forgive our cold, indifferent, half-hearted prayer life. If a man really wants wisdom, he will cry to God for it. Next, not only are we to pray with intensity, we're to pray with persistency. Verse 4 says, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasure. Now suppose you just purchased a new house, and you knew that in that yard of that house, or somewhere in that house, that there was a valuable treasure that was hidden there. The former owner had put it there, and when you got the house, you got that treasure as well, right? It's all yours if you just find it. He didn't tell you where it was, but you got to go find it, right? Now, you know it's there. So let me ask you, would you look for it? Of course you would. I would. I'd be out there digging up the whole yard, wouldn't you? Yeah, I'd try and find that thing. Yeah, and you know, there would be an urgency in your search, right? Now, wouldn't it be a great day when God's people seek wisdom like they seek wealth? Like they seek wealth. Let me ask you something. Do you know how much the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are paying Tom Brady to play football? Yeah, a whole bunch, right? His base salary, and I mean the salary that he's guaranteed to have, just the base salary is $25 million a year. All right, and then you got all the bonuses that he gets for winning the conference and the Super Bowl. That's a whole lot more that he gets on top of that, right? So can you imagine that? $25 million plus just to play football. Now, no question about it, he is a legendary quarterback, and the owners of that team absolutely probably think that he is worth every penny. But that's a lot of money for playing football, right? And some of you might say, well, I don't believe in all of that. Nobody should get that much money for what they are doing. Well, let me say something to you. Most of you have not even begun to pursue wisdom like Tom Brady has pursued excellence in his entire football career on the field. 1 Corinthians 9:25 says, and every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Now I'm telling you, on the promise of the Word of God, that there is something worth more to you than $25 million. And that is God's wisdom. Now, for his effort, his training, his diligence, and his persistence in the pursuit of excellence on a football field, I tell you, athletes like Tom Brady, they just put us to shame. They put us to shame. They for a corruptible crown, we for an incorruptible. Wisdom. Nothing, not even $25 million, is to be compared to it. More valuable than rubies, the Bible says, is the thing called wisdom. We are to seek for wisdom. We are to search for wisdom as a man seeks for and searches for a hidden treasure. We are to pray with fervency. We are to pray with persistency. And then next, we are to pray with expectancy. Verses 5 and 6, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. You know what that is? That is a promise. That is a promise from God. The Lord giveth wisdom. When you get in the Word of God, then the God of heaven, the God of grace, the God of glory is going to grant you wisdom. You'll know it. Now, when we pray, the Bible says in 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Now, the important part of that verse is that we have confidence, that we know it to be true, that if we ask anything when, according to His will, He heareth us. God hears our prayers that are in accordance with His will. I've often said that the prayer that is answered is the prayer that begins in heaven, right? If you want your prayer answered, start with your prayer that is God's will for your life. Find out what God's will for your life is and pray for it. That's the prayer that's going to get answered for you. So, God hears our prayers that are in accordance with His will, and that is great. Why? Because we know that it is God's will that we have wisdom. So when you're asking for wisdom, you already know that it is God's will that you have that wisdom. Remember, we said that God desires wisdom for His children. James confirms this is true in James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. James says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And then it says, and it what? It shall be given him. It shall. But then it also says in verses 6 and 8, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, when you come to God with fervency and consistency and expectancy, and after you receive the word of God, then you can pray to God for wisdom and it shall be given. God's not going to scold you. He's not going to upbraid you. He's not going to say, is that you again, pestering me again? Well, you were just asking me yesterday for wisdom, yeah? Oh, no, God is pleased when I come to Him daily and say, God, I need wisdom here. Lord, I'm preparing a lesson. Lord, help me understand Your words that You want me to say. Lord, I'm making a decision. Lord, help me. Lord, I'm seeking a college, a wife. I need to buy a home. I want to win souls. I want to be used. God, give me wisdom. And I have to upbraid my own self sometimes. Sometimes I go ahead and I start down a path of making a choice, and I have to back up and say, whoop. God, I got halfway down this path, and I didn't ask You for wisdom before I started down that path. And so I got to pay attention and make sure that I look, because if I want God's wisdom, I better ask for it, right? So God is going to give it to you. He will give it. He will give it. He will give you wisdom if you ask for it. God wants you to have wisdom. The song says, out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. But there's one other thing, and then I'll be finished here this morning. Not only must there be the pursuit of Scriptures, not only must there be the prayer of the saint, but I'm going to say it one more time, there must be the presence of the Savior. If you would know wisdom, then there must be the presence of the Savior. Verses 7 through 9, He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of His saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. So who is our righteousness? Who is our wisdom? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look in verse 7. God speaks of sound wisdom. Now the word soundness means wholeness. Listen to me. In Christ there is soundness. In verse 7 He speaks of a buckler or a shield. And this tells us that in Christ there is strength. In verse 8, He speaks of preserving His saints. And that tells us that in Christ there is security. In verse 9, He speaks of every good path. And in verse 10, He speaks of pleasantness. And this tells us that in Christ there is satisfaction. God is telling us that in Christ there is soundness. In Christ there is strength. In Christ there is security. In Christ there is satisfaction. Do you want God's wisdom? Then there must be the pursuit of the Scriptures. There must be the prayer of the saint. But all of these are no good unless there is the presence of the Savior. It is Christ who has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And that's in 1 Corinthians 1:30. If you are to know the wisdom of God, then you must follow that infallible path to that wisdom. You must know Jesus Christ must be in your heart. Amen. Amen.